It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegebring. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
This plan will help borrowers who are already behind on mortgage payments or who are struggling to keep their payments current by providing mortgage lenders with financial incentives to modify existing first mortgages. And the Treasury hopes to help as many as 3 to 4 million Americans avoid foreclosure regardless of who owns or services their mortgage.
Paula Sherman from Housing Opportunities Made Equal discloses the very latest details of the Obama administration's Making Home Affordable plan. And with the number of people with no health insurance continuing to rise, we explain access to free medical care in Richmond during this week's question and answer. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 39, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. The recently concluded session of the Virginia General Assembly closed another loophole used by payday lenders that was keeping unwary borrowers trapped in an endless cycle of debt. Following last year's law limiting the number of payday loans, the lengths of the loans, and the terms of repayment, at least 11 payday lenders sought and obtained approval to issue open-end loans for which there are no limits on interest and payment terms, and to which the 2008 law did not apply. No more. Starting July 1, 2009, a licensed payday lender may not extend credit under an open-end credit or similar plan. This prohibits payday lenders from making loans that have no fixed length and are not secured by any property. However, payday lenders still are allowed to make car title loans that have no fixed length but are secured by a car title. In other news, the Virginia General Assembly finally has clamped down on foreclosure rescue scammers who charge desperate homeowners expensive fees for little or no work in unsuccessful efforts to save homes from foreclosure. The new law applies to any consumer transaction involving a home owned and occupied as the owner's primary dwelling unit. If the transaction does not involve the sale or transfer of residential real property, the new law prohibits the supplier of a service to avoid or prevent foreclosure from receiving a fee prior to the full and complete performance of the services it has agreed to perform. If the transaction does involve the sale or transfer of residential real property, the new law prohibits the supplier of a service to avoid or prevent foreclosure from receiving a fee prior to the settlement on the sale or transfer of the home. The new law takes effect July 1, 2009. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegebring. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's legal term of the week is writ of possession. A writ of possession is the court form, usually on yellow paper, that allows the sheriff to evict a tenant. Only the sheriff or some other law enforcement officer can make you leave or put you and your belongings out. Your landlord cannot make you leave or put you and your belongings out. The sheriff must take the writ of possession to your home, and the writ must say the date and time when you will be evicted. The writ must give you at least 72 hours advanced written notice of the date and time the actual eviction will take place. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and this week's legal term of the week is writ of possession.
It's time for this week's question and answer session. We're here in the studio with this week's questioner. Please tell us your name and where you're from.
My name is Reverend Rosa, and I'm from Richmond, Virginia.
Welcome to the show, Reverend. What question do you have for us?
My question pertains to health laws. With the economy being the way it is today, a large number of families are out of job. They've lost their health insurance. I would like to know what type of health care is available to the unemployed.
That's a big and good question. And we don't have a comprehensive system in this country, as we all know. There's Medicare, which is available to people who are receiving Social Security benefits based on age, blindness, or disability. There's Medicaid, which is available to people getting SSI based on age, blindness, or disability, or in certain cases, people receiving temporary assistance for needy families or children. And also for children, there is the FAMIS program, Family Access to Medical Income Security. But for the just plain unemployed adults, if they had medical insurance through their former employer, they should be able to get COBRA coverage under the Comprehensive Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act, which is what COBRA stands for. The problem is that the COBRA coverage has to be paid for by the unemployed person. It's no longer paid for by the former employer. And in case of a company like Circuit City, where the company is going out of business and there is no group health insurance available, there is no COBRA coverage. Even if there is COBRA coverage, you have to pay for it. And how do you do that when you've just lost your job? It's very difficult. Now, in the greater Richmond area, there were 57,000 low-income residents who were uninsured. Now, some were working poor and some were unemployed, but all of these were people who didn't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid or whose employers didn't provide health insurance. Now, fortunately, the Richmond Academy of Medicine started a program called Richmond Access Now. And to qualify, you have to have lived in the Richmond area at least 3 months, have no health insurance, not qualify for any type of government medical assistance program, and have family income less than 200% of the federal poverty level, which is about $21,000 for a single person and about $42,000 for a family of four. Now, to access this, you have to go to an entry point. You have to go to a free clinic. There are about 11 in the Richmond area, or to the public health department, or any federally qualified health center, like, for example, the VA McGuire Center can screen you. If you're found eligible, you get something called an Access Now card, and that allows you to get a referral to more than 400 local physicians, as well as the three area hospital systems. That would be Bon Secours, HCA, and also VCU. And the Access Now card is accepted pretty much just like a health insurance card. For people who want more information about this, you can go to the website, which is accessnow.ramdocs.org, or you can call 643-6631. Is this a program that you were aware of before you came on the show?
I was not aware of this program, and the information provided is very helpful, and I hope that anyone who hears this will just pass the message along that there is some type of help available for those who are unable to pay for medical insurance. Thank you so very much.
I hope so, too. And again, just to repeat that information, the website is accessnow.ramdocs.org, or you can call 643 6631. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. 2 weeks ago, we spoke with Paula Sherman at Housing Opportunities Made Equal about mortgage default counseling, and in the intervening 2 weeks, the Obama administration's Homeowner Affordability and Stability Plan has been clarified. It has been renamed into something called the Making Home Affordable Plan. The details are available, and we're back at Housing Opportunities Made Equal, talking with Paula Sherman about this new plan. Welcome back to the show, Paula.
Thank you, Marty. Welcome.
Let's again divide this into two parts. We'll start with borrowers who are current on their mortgage, and then in the second half, we'll talk about borrowers who are not current. What help is available for borrowers who stay current on their mortgage payments but have seen their homes decrease in value?
Well, under the Making Home Affordable Plan, eligible borrowers who stay current on their mortgages but have been unable to refinance to lower interest rates because of their homes have decreased in value may now have the opportunity to refinance into a 30 or 15-year fixed-rate loan. Through the program, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac will allow the refinancing of mortgage loans that they hold in their portfolios that they have placed in mortgage-backed securities.
Well, let's say the borrower owes more than the property is worth. Do they still qualify to refinance under the Making Home Affordable Plan?
Eligible loans will now include those where the new first mortgage, including any refinancing costs, will not exceed 105% of the current market value of the property. So, for example, if your property is worth $200,000 but you owe $210,000 or less, you may qualify. The current value of your property will be determined after you apply to refinance.
Well, how would a borrower know if he or she were eligible?
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have both established toll-free numbers and web pages for borrowers to look into to see if they qualify. So for Fannie Mae borrowers, they would call 1-800-7-FANNIE between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. And Freddie Mac borrowers would call 1-800-FREDDIE, and they have the same customer service hours.
Well, what if a borrower has both a first and a second mortgage? Would that borrower still qualify to refinance under the Making Home Affordable Plan?
Well, as long as the amount due on the first mortgage is less than 105% of the value of the property, borrowers with more than one mortgage may be eligible to refinance under the Making Home Affordable Plan. Their eligibility will, however, in part depend on an agreement by the lender that has your second mortgage to remain in second position and the homeowner's ability to meet the new payment terms on the first mortgage.
Well, will refinancing lower a typical borrower's payments?
Well, the objective of the Making Home Affordable Plan is to provide creditworthy borrowers who have shown a commitment to paying their mortgage with affordable payments that are sustainable for the life of the loan. So borrowers whose mortgage interest rates are much higher than the current market rate should see an immediate reduction in their payments. Borrowers who are paying interest only or who have a low introductory rate that will increase in the future may not see their current payments go down if they refinance into a fixed rate. But these borrowers, however, could save a great deal over the life of the loan.
Well, what are the interest rates and the other terms of this refinance offer?
Well, the objective of the plan is to provide borrowers with a safe loan program with a fixed affordable payment. All loans refinanced under the plan will have a 30 or 15-year term with a fixed interest rate. The rate will be based on market rates in effect at the time of the refinance and any associated points and fees quoted by the lender. So interest rates may vary across lenders and over time as the market rates adjust. The refinance loans will have no repayment penalties or balloon notes.
Well, will the refinancing reduce the amount that the borrower owes on the loan?
No. The objective of the Making Home Affordable Plan is to help borrowers refinance into safer, more affordable fixed rate loans. So refinancing will not reduce the amount a homeowner owes to the first mortgage holder or any other debt they may owe. However, by reducing the interest rate, refinancing should save money by reducing the amount of interest that one would repay over the life of the loan.
When can borrowers apply for a relief under these plans?
They can now. The plan went into effect March 4th.
And you gave the toll-free numbers for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Do they also have websites that people could look at to see if their loan is held by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac?
Yes, they do. For Fannie Mae loans, the web address is www.fanniemae.com/homeaffordable. And for Freddie Mac, the web address is www.freddiemac.com/avoid foreclosure.
Well, what should borrowers do in the meantime?
Well, in the meantime, they should gather information that they would need to provide to their mortgage lender, which would include information about the growth, their gross monthly income of all borrowers in the home, including their most recent pay stubs and documentation of income that they received from other sources, their most recent income tax return, information about any second mortgages on the home, and payments on each of their credit cards if they're carrying balances from month to month.
Now, let's talk about the second half of the problem. What if you are a borrower who is at risk of foreclosure? In particular, what help would be available for a borrower who is facing foreclosure, either because they're behind on their mortgage or because they're struggling to make payments?
This plan will help borrowers who are already behind on mortgage payments or who are struggling to keep their payments current by providing mortgage lenders with financial incentives to modify existing first mortgages. And the Treasury hopes to help as many as 3 to 4 million Americans avoid foreclosure regardless of who owns or services their mortgage.
Well, does a borrower need to actually be behind on the mortgage payment in order to be eligible for one of these modifications?
No. Borrowers who are struggling to stay current on their mortgage payments may be eligible if their income is not sufficient to continue to make their mortgage payments and if they're at risk of immediate imminent default. This may be due to several factors, of course, such as loss of income, significant increase in expenses, or an interest rate that will reset to an unaffordable level.
In other words, one of those teaser rates that will go up.
Exactly.
Well, how does a borrower know if they are going to qualify for a payment reduction under the Making Home Affordable plan?
In general, they may qualify for a mortgage modification if, one, they occupy their house as their primary residence. Two, if their monthly mortgage payment is greater than 31% of their monthly gross income. Three, their loan is not large enough to exceed current Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac loan limits. But final eligibility will be determined by the mortgage lender based on their financial situation and detailed guidelines that just recently became available.
Well, now, what if the borrower doesn't live in the home that has the mortgage on it? Is this mortgage eligible under this plan?
No, only the mortgage on the primary residence is eligible.
What if you have a mortgage on a duplex and the borrower lives in one unit and rents out the other? Would the borrower still be eligible?
Yes, those properties are eligible as long as the borrower lives in one of the units.
Well, now, what if the borrower has two mortgages? Would the Making Home Affordable plan reduce the payments on both the first mortgage and the second mortgage?
Only the first mortgage is eligible.
All right, well, let's go to the situation where the borrower owes more than the house is worth. Will this Making Home Affordable plan reduce what the borrower owes?
Well, the primary objective of the Making Home Affordable plan is to help borrowers avoid foreclosure by modifying troubled loans to achieve payments that borrowers can afford. So lenders are likely to lower payments mainly by reducing loan interest rates. However, the program offers incentives for principal reductions, and at their lender's discretion, modifications may include upfront reductions of loan principal.
Well, no, I understand that this is still, at the bottom line, a voluntary plan, but I heard the government was providing a financial incentive. Is this true?
Yes, it is true. To encourage borrowers who work hard to retain ownership, the Making Home Affordable plan provides incentive payments as long as the borrower makes timely payments on the modified loan. The incentive will accrue on a monthly basis and will be applied directly to reduce the borrower's mortgage debt. So borrowers who pay on time for 5 years can have up to $5,000 applied to reduce their debt by the end of that period.
How much is a modification going to cost a borrower under this plan?
There's no cost to the borrower under this plan. If the borrower wished to get assistance from a HUD-approved housing counseling agency, or if they're referred to a counselor as a condition of the modification, they would not be charged a fee. And borrowers should be aware of any organization that attempts to charge a fee for housing counseling or modification of a delinquent loan, especially if they require a fee in advance.
But I gather that the lender is not required to modify the loan.
Correct. No lenders are required. Lenders may participate in the program on a voluntary basis, and loans are evaluated for modification on a case-by-case basis. But the government is offering substantial incentives, and it is expected that most major lenders will participate.
Now, what if the borrower is already working with their lender or perhaps with a HUD-certified housing counselor on some type of a loan workout? Can that borrower still be considered for assistance under this Making Home Affordable plan?
Yes, they would simply ask the lender or counselor to be considered under the Making Home Affordable plan.
Well, how does a borrower who is coming into this for the first time apply for a modification under the Making Home Affordable plan?
They may not need to do anything at this time. Most mortgage lenders will evaluate loans in their portfolio to identify borrowers who may meet the eligibility criteria. And right now, they're sending letters to potentially eligible homeowners, and which is a process that may take several weeks. But if a homeowner thinks that they may qualify for a loan modification and don't receive a letter from their lender in several weeks, they should contact their mortgage company or a HUD-approved housing counselor.
And we'll get to the contact information at the end of the interview, but
yes.
What should borrowers do in the meantime if they are behind in the mortgage or if they are just having trouble making the payments?
Well, in the meantime, they should continue making their mortgage payments to the extent that they can. They should gather information that they will need to provide to the lender, such as information on the gross income of everyone in the home, their most recent tax return, information about any second mortgages that they may be on the home, and payments on each of the credit cards that they're carrying balances from month to month, information about payments that they're making on student loans and car loans as well.
Let's assume that the borrower's mortgage is scheduled for foreclosure soon. What should that borrower do?
They should contact their mortgage servicer or housing counselor. And many mortgage lenders have expressed their intention to postpone foreclosure sales on all mortgages that may qualify for the modification in order to allow sufficient time to evaluate the borrower's eligibility.
Well, Paul, I know that the law in this area is changing weekly, perhaps almost daily. So I guess contacting a HUD-certified housing counselor is really critical. Tell me, how does somebody contact Housing Opportunities Made Equal?
Well, they can access our services one of two ways. One, through our website, www.phonehome.org. There is a tab on there where they can actually do an intake and submit their budget information to us, and we'll contact them within 2 days of receiving that. Or they can call us directly at 804-354-0641.
Thank you very much, Paula. We have been speaking again with Paula Sherman at Housing Opportunities Made Equal. Thank you again very much for being on the show.
Thank you, Marty.
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's top three tips are about Medicaid. The first tip is that Medicaid is a federal and state program that gives certain groups of people a card that can be used to get free medical care, nursing home care, and prescription drugs at reduced prices. The second tip is that to get Medicaid, you must have low income and low resources. You also must be in a covered group such as aged, blind, or disabled, low income children or pregnant women, or low income families with dependent children. The third tip is that Medicaid is like a welfare program and should not be confused with Medicare, which is like an insurance program. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King, and for this week, that's our top three tips.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. Also, if you have a question you would like answered or any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. Please include your name and phone number. You also can leave that same information before 8 a.m. or after 6 p.m. by calling 200-6045. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. You and your attorney should be a team, but how are you to know what your attorney wants and needs from you? Join us next week when Palma Pastelnik, attorney with Central Virginia Legal Aid Society in Charlottesville, talks about how to work well with your lawyer. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbrecht.